Joining us this morning is Rabbi Michael Lerner. He is the author of 11 books, including two national bestsellers, Jewish Renewal and The Left Hand of God, Taking Back Our Country from the Religious Right. He's written a new book called Revolutionary Love, a political manifesto to heal and transform the world. If you'd like to join us this morning, you can reach us on the Jefferson Exchange by calling 800-838-3760, or you can send an email during the live broadcast to jx@jeffnet.org. Rabbi Lerner, welcome to the Exchange.
Thank you so much.
Well, good to have you. And I found this a very interesting book. I think the first question I wanted to ask is the difference between an active and a passive love. That's kind of philosophical. I guess it's one thing to tell somebody or to say, I love an individual or a group of people. It's another thing to roll up your sleeves and go to work. And it seems like in your book, as a manifesto, you're asking people to roll up their sleeves.
Yes, very much so, because I think the key point here is that most people want a different kind of world. They want a world that is caring and kind and generous, and we can create that. But we have to be able to recognize that the command to love the other is just as important as to love the neighbor. That we need to be able to recognize that we are part of one humanity that goes throughout the whole planet. And that the well-being of everybody on the planet is critical to our own well-being, that we are really tied to all other human beings. Let me give you one example of that that's so clear. When we allow the rainforest to be destroyed, because in order for farmers to survive and be able to feed their own families, they have to plant crops that will particularly to grow appropriate crops for cows that can then be slaughtered to satisfy the desire for meat on the part of North Americans and Europeans. We end up being involved in a global system that is destroying the planet and the life support system for our own families. So there's no way really to say, oh, well, I'll just love my neighbor here. I'll take care of myself and a few of my friends, without also recognizing that our well-being is directly tied to the well-being of everybody on the planet, and that there's no way to save the planet without making sure that we pay attention to the needs of other people and genuinely care for them. And that's part of the distinction between being passive love and active love, is that the love that we need is one that has to be embodied in actions in the world, beyond the kind of love that, of course, that is wonderful, that I have with my wife and that many other people have in their families or with their children, whatever. But there's a different kind of love, I call it revolutionary love, in which we love, care for, and genuinely put our energies into taking care of the well-being of everyone else on the planet.
I guess we all fall into that trap of having a tendency to look at things through an economic lens, don't we?
Well, you see, we live in a capitalist system, and the capitalist system says that the bottom line is maximizing money and power. Now, that bottom line is reinforced in everybody's mind day in and day out in the world of work. So I don't want to be blaming anybody for coming home after all day at work and thinking, yeah, what really counts is how much money we have, how much, and how do we maximize our money, and then thinking, well, then accepting the notion that what's really real is anything that can be counted or that can be empirically verified. But the truth of the matter is that love kindness, generosity, in fact, all ethical values, all aesthetic values, all of our spiritual life. None of it can be validated through counting or empirical observation. But money, because money has become the standard of what's real in our society, we sometimes say to each other, you know, that all that other stuff is soft. It's not real. It's just woo-woo values and all of that. But actually, they're central to what makes a human life human, as opposed to a rock.
Right.
As rock has all the hardness that can be verified through empirical reality. But a human being has consciousness, and with consciousness, a whole level of reality that cannot be reduced to an empirical or a something that can be counted. It's a different dimension of humanity. The competitive marketplace says, "Oh, we don't know how to count. We don't know how to measure that, so it's not really real. So what we can measure is how many products you produce, how much money then gets generated for our firm. That's the bottom line." So what I in this book, Revolutionary Love, and more generally in the magazine I run called Tikkun, T-I-K-K-U-N, Tikkun.org. We say that we need a new bottom line, a bottom line that says that every institution, every economic policy, every corporation, every government policy, our healthcare system, our education system, our cultural systems should all be judged efficient, rational, and productive to the extent that they maximize love and caring, kindness and generosity, ethical and environmental sensitivity and behavior, enhance our capacity to respond to other human beings as embodiments of the sacred rather than see other human beings simply in terms of what can they do for us? How can they maximize our self-interest? But instead, no, to see them as fundamentally valuable and to look at the earth not simply as a resource that can be turned into a product and sold so that we make money off of it, that's the old bottom line, but into but looking at the earth as a miraculous reality with awe and wonder at the grandeur and mystery of this universe and recognizing ourselves as products of this earth instead of something that is just external to us. We are part of it. We are part of this whole universe. So,
hey. Well, Rabbi, I was just saying we're speaking with Rabbi Michael Lerner. He is the author of the new book, Revolutionary Love, a political manifesto to heal and transform the world. We'll talk to him some more, take your questions, and be back right after the break. With Rabbi Michael Lerner, the author of a new book, Revolutionary Love, a political manifesto to heal and transform the world. Rabbi Lerner, let me ask you, we live in such a time of divisiveness right now in politics, in America, and many other places in the world. How do we get people to see the bigger picture and move on to the same page about some of these big issues? You've talked about, for example, environmental degradation and social justice. How do you get a large group of people who can't seemingly agree on much of anything these days to come together with that vision?
Well, I'll definitely be talking about this this coming Monday night at Bloomsbury Bookstore in Ashland, 7 p.m., when I do a little reading from this book and share the book. The book is about that, so it's about that. But it's not about exactly overcoming all divisions, because sometimes divisions, disagreements, are healthy, and they're not a bad thing necessarily. But it's a question of how you conduct those differences, and those differences have to be conducted with genuine respect and caring. And here, I'm coming from the liberal and progressive world. And part of my book is a challenge to the liberal and progressive world, because although we always talk about how there are so many haters in the right, and of course I've witnessed this myself personally. I've witnessed this in the killing of Jews in Pittsburgh and then in Southern California by right wingers who want to change the world in their way, and the assaults that have gone on for decades on African Americans in their churches. So it's not exactly equal, because there hasn't been anything like that happening from the liberal and progressive world. But nevertheless, we talk about the whole, everybody who's not yet on our side. We often hear liberals and progressives talking about them as though everybody who's not on our side is a racist, a sexist, a homophobe, a xenophobe, an anti-Semite, an Islamophobe, or just plain stupid. And I think that that's a huge error. First of all, it's not true. There are many people who have experienced a certain degree of, elitism and lack of sensitivity to their needs that pushes them away from liberal and progressive thought towards right-wing alternatives and right-wing communities. So so we have to acknowledge that their experience, many people's experience is, we're saying they hate us, but the truth is that many people who have moved to the right feel that we hate them. Now, it's not really true that we hate them, but it is true that we act often, liberal progressive world, acts in a way that dismisses a lot of people who really could be our allies. And so part of the book is about how to talk to people in a way that affirms their humanity even when they disagree with us. And that we call it a prophetic empathy, an ability to hear and listen to people who disagree with us and to affirm their humanity, even as we simultaneously challenge them about policies that they've been willing to support that are horrific, like, for example, supporting the Trump administration while it puts literally thousands of people into cages, hundreds and hundreds of tiny children and babies ripped away from their parents, some given up for adoption, no records as to what's been done with them or how their parents will ever find them again. These are acts, and that's still going on. There was an outrage about it a year ago, but it's still happening today. It hasn't changed one bit. Kids are living in these tiny little cages on the border. That's just one level, the dismantling of environmental protections that are going to lead to an acceleration of the destruction of our planet. These are things that we have every right to be outraged about. But it's one thing to be outraged at the policies. It's another thing to be outraged at the people who have voted for Trump or who might yet again vote for Trump. Not all of them are racist, sexist, homophobes, xenophobes, or stupid. They're not. There's some of them who are decent people who are voting at a different level. They're not voting on policy. They're voting on who likes me, who respects me. And here, it's a message for our liberal and progressive world. We have to overcome the message that was given by Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election, that at least half of the Trump supporters are a bundle of deplorables. That message is a terrible message, a false message, because there are a lot of people who are not yet on our side, who are not yet on the side of building a world of love and caring. There are a lot of people who are there not because they are deplorables, but because they feel that they've been treated in a deplorable way. So I'm saying we have to address not only, we have to have a politics that addresses not only the head, but also the heart. Mm-hmm. And I believe that this, if Bernie Sanders were to get the nomination or Elizabeth Warren were to get the nomination, they need to hear this message too. that it's not enough to have brilliant policies. They do have brilliant policies, far better, as far as I can see, than most of the other Democrats running. But they still don't yet know how to speak to the heart. They're speaking only to the head. And so so what I'm saying is we need those of us who actually do want to build a world based on love, kindness, and generosity need to get that message out at the center of our message, not on the sidelines. Unfortunately, there are too many social change activists who believe that it's too weak. It's not, you know, to talk about love, it's so airy-fairy, it sounds like New Age. But far from being New Age, this is the center of every religious community that's existed. It's the center of their of the values that they claim to believe in and often have believed in it. Many, many, many loving, caring people in those communities. Yet very often you hear those people being put down. We've got to stop putting them down, affirming their humanity, allowing for disagreements on policy, but challenging things that are ethically unacceptable.
On the line, we have Pam from Dexter. Go ahead, Pam.
Hi. Well, this is a very timely conversation for me. I've been reading a book called Ill Wind, Saving Democracy by Larry Diamond. And he was in the, I guess, for like 40 years, he's traveled around the world studying different democracies and watching some fail and seeing a trend that our very own democracy here in this country is at risk because of division and lack of trust and corruption. And so recently a Republican party office has opened up in our area out here in the Dexter Pleasant Hill area. And I've been thinking about going in there and actually having a civil conversation and trying to break some barriers, because I really do believe what you're saying, that we have to find common ground, and we have to, I think one of the things Trump is doing is dividing people. He's making people more angry and more divided. And I think one of the solutions and to solve the environmental problem, which is my big concern, climate change and species extinction, is to find common ground with these people where, you know, we don't but we need to at least see each other as citizens of the country and the world, and that we have a lot more in common. We all want to have, you know, a safe and healthy place for our children and families to grow. We all want to feel like there's hope for the future. So do you have any suggestions on this conversation that I might have if I get the courage to go into this office? And I'll listen on the radio. So thanks a lot.
Thanks, Pam.
Well, my advice is, on the one hand, to apologize for what Hillary Clinton said and to say that does not represent the feelings of the majority of people who want to change our economic and political systems in ways that will enhance the way we care for each other and care for the earth. On the other hand, I want to say that what you're saying is very important, that we affirm their humanity. On the other hand, it's when we say prophetic empathy, we want to simultaneously maintain that it's not okay to let other people go hungry. It's not okay to have millions of people living on the streets and not taking them in and not providing housing for them. It's not okay to have people, we have a huge increase in suicides amongst men in their 40s and 50s in this country, because they've lost their jobs. They then get part-time work or have to take two or three jobs in order to support their family. It's not okay when you have huge numbers of people killing themselves here. It's not okay when people die because they can't afford huge prices for pharmaceuticals, when the pharmaceuticals are making hundreds of billions of dollars off of our health, and meanwhile not allowing us, because of the prices that they charge, for people who desperately need some medications. So you can't go in and simply say all we need is common ground. No, we need common respect, but we can also still maintain our integrity about critiquing a system in which the bottom line is money and in which everybody is encouraged to just maximize their money. We need to build a new bottom line in which we're encouraging everybody to be judged efficient, rational, and productive to the extent that they maximize love and caring and kindness and generosity and ethical and environmental sensitivity and awe and wonder at the grandeur of the universe and seeing other human beings as fundamentally valuable so that we can't turn our back on those who are suffering and say, oh, well, that's just their problem. No, it's all of our problem.
Rabbi, we had an email from somebody who had, it was a fairly short email saying that humans never change. And I was going to ask you, I certainly don't need to lecture you about the Bible, but we have all the way from Cain and Abel through the wars and the genocides, and you move outside of the Bible and you look at human history and you read that, again, more war, more genocides, more killings. Humans really have had a hard time changing for the better. I mean, we've made progress, obviously, over the centuries and things. Quality of life in many ways has gotten better. But how do you move human beings away from that sort of evil that seems to be present in a lot of us, not all the time, but certainly from time to time?
There's no question that that many of us have come to believe that nothing fundamental can change. And that's part of the worldview that the people of power want to convince us of. So I want to say that that if we just look at, say, my lifetime, I'm 76 years old, so I've been through a lot. And I've gone through the period in which people were telling me, nothing can be changed. Be realistic. Accept the way things are. But in my lifetime, I've witnessed, number one, the emergence of a civil rights movement that effectively overcame 100 years of segregation and 300 years of slavery. Now, that doesn't mean we ended racism entirely, but the situation of African Americans in this country is wildly improved over what it was when I was, say, in my at 19 years old when I went to the March on Washington with Martin Luther King Jr. in 1963. Similarly, the emergence of a women's movement, a second wave of feminism, in the late 1960s and early 1970s. It started out with a small group of women in Berkeley, in San Francisco, in Seattle, in Portland, in a few other college towns, in Cambridge, and in New York City and Washington. Really a handful, 200, 300 women altogether. And they were forming groups and talking about this and writing stuff about it, about sexism. Well, I'm not claiming patriarchy has been overcome, but so many women at that time were telling the women who were in the second wave of feminism, be realistic, don't challenge patriarchy, don't challenge the fundamentals of sexism, that's too big, just narrow it down to something concrete that you can win in the short run. Thank God those women didn't listen. They refused to be realistic, and as a result, they made incredible transformations in the status of women so that even some of those early women who were involved, looking at today, say this it went so far beyond what they thought was possible. So in our own lifetime, we've seen, then there was the movement against apartheid in South Africa, and yes, guess what? They put Nelson Mandela in prison for over 25 years, and then it changed. You see, so don't accept. I say don't be realistic, because what realistic means when people tell you to be realistic, what they're really saying is listen to the people who have power, who own and control the media, the rich who own and control the media. Not this station, thank God, and particularly your program, which is an exception to, but who own and control the media, who are the politicians who they have bought by and large, even the liberal or progressive candidates still narrow what they say to what they hear or what they're told is realistic and possible. I say, don't be realistic. Go for your highest vision of the good, because when people do that, changes happen that strengthen the loving and caring part of people. So I reject the notion that we are fundamentally evil. Human beings are created in the image of God in the Bible. God is not fundamentally evil. We're created with the possibility of transforming the world, of healing the world. That's what the word tikkun, T-I-K-K-U-N, means in Hebrew. It's to heal, repair, and transform the world, tikkun. That's the name of my magazine, tikkun.org. So don't believe the stories that tell you that we're stuck. There are incredible changes have happened, and incredible changes must still happen, or else the earth is going to be destroyed. Because this is no longer a question of, is it a good idea or a bad idea? It's a question of the survival of the planet. The planet, the life support system of this planet will be destroyed unless we can overcome all those who tell us that nothing can be changed and fundamentally change it. Get over the marketplace being based on a need to endlessly expand and endlessly, hence, take more and more out of the earth, which we then consume, but they sell it to us. That makes the large corporations richer. But meanwhile, the earth is being destroyed. Don't be realistic and say, okay, that's the system. Because meanwhile, there's the storms, there are the hurricanes, there are the fires that are going on all around. More and more, we're seeing the bare beginning of the destruction of the planet that our reckless treatment of this planet is causing. So don't be realistic. Don't accept the way things are. Go for your highest vision of the good. And how to do that is what I write about in my new book, Revolutionary Love, which I'll be talking about on Monday night in Ashland at the bookstore. What's the name of the bookstore?
Bloomsburg.
Yeah, Bloomsburg.
Rabbi Lerner, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity, and hope to meet the people of Ashland on Monday night, 7 o'clock.
All right, coming up next, Rogue Sounds. Josh Gross is here with us. Stick around.